You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Joining us now from Pro Football Network, he is Ian Cummings, a 7-round mock draft out now that you can go check out. Follow him on Twitter at IC_draft. That's IC_draft. Ian, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a while since last year. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Always a pleasure to talk Packers and draft. And as we know, the NFC North is getting more and more competitive each year, so need a good draft. And this is a good offseason to have it.
Definitely needed a good draft for the Green Bay Packers, like you said, with the Lions, the Vikings, and then we'll see what happens in Chicago. Before we get to the Packers and their needs, I'm curious on your thoughts on the top two quarterbacks in this draft between Cam Ward of Miami and Shedeur Sanders of Colorado, because I've seen numerous things talking about how Tennessee probably is just going to trade out of there, not even take that pick, and possibly roll with Will Levis or a veteran quarterback instead of taking a quarterback at the top. Cleveland, obviously, you know, is dealing with that Deshaun Watson fiasco at two. How good are either one of these? Who do you have ranked above the other?
It's a gamble, for sure. You know, I think it's a gamble to take one of these guys at the top. When you look at a class like last year's with Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, it's definitely not the amount of certainty that we're accustomed to seeing. But I also think it's a gamble to pass on one of these guys. If you're a team that really needs a QB, if you punt to next year, you risk putting that off and getting stuck in limbo, right? So we know kind of what the Titans have done with Will Levis in that sense, right, and Deshaun Watson for Cleveland. So I think if I had to pick one over the other, I'll pick Cam Ward. I think his playmaking gene just sets him apart. I mean, you could talk about the discipline. There are some times where discipline can be an issue in the pocket, you know, depth discipline, placement, you know, not understanding the rush fading away. But when you talk about arm elasticity, arm talent, creative capacity, he is top flight in all of those categories. And then some of the throws that he can make with his unique arm talent, one of one. I mean, you don't see that kind of raw talent come around the block every year. So Cam Ward would be my pick over Shedeur Sanders, but that's not a slight to Sanders. I think his ability as a distributor is really good. His accuracy, he can hit those really impressive bucket throws down the field, really good pre-snap awareness and feel. I know there's been a comp to Geno Smith for him, kind of a distributor who has some of that athletic and arm talent that you want as well. I would prefer Cam Ward because of the playmaking gene, but I think both of them are viable first-round quarterbacks. Whether you want to take him a one or two, I think that's a decision every front office has to make separately, but I would be willing to take them if you can surround them with the proper talent.
Talking with Ian Cummings of Pro Football Network. Check out his 7-round mock draft that he has up right now. The Packers are at pick number 23. You have them taking a wide receiver. I've not seen anybody else having them take, and that is Luther Burden III, wide receiver from Missouri. Tell us about him.
Yeah, it was a fun fit in my mind because I just think about what LaFleur can do, you know, with those guys, scheme them targets. Obviously, you know, he's very creative with how he gets his personnel the ball. We've seen that with Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, you know, all of those playmakers that he has. And I think Luther Burden would present a unique opportunity for you. He's a guy that you can scheme easy targets in the short and intermediate ranges, being around 5'11", over 200. So he's rocked up. You know, you think back to the Randall Cobb days, he's got that frame density, really low center of gravity, the contact balance after the catch. But he's also an explosive vertical threat. You know, I think he's a guy that you could scheme touches to in certain phases, but he can also stretch the field. He's got the speed to do it. He flashes really good catching instincts. I think he took a step back in 2024 just with the consistency, and we saw that his production kind of halved as a result. But I also think Brady Cook, you know, that whole offense is a little inconsistent at times, and that trickled down to the receiver production. So you've got your Swiss Army knife and Jaden Reed. You've got your vertical stretcher and Christian Watson. I really think Luther Burden is the kind of X factor who can complete the puzzle. You know, any way you want to use him, whether it's on quick slants, up the seam, rack opportunities, jet sweeps even, like, this is a guy who can do it all. You can get him the ball any way that you want to, and he's that weapon who can tie it all together. So I think especially for Jordan Love, a young QB who still has a little bit of that volatility that you want to tone out, having such an easy QB-friendly target like Luther Burden can really go a long way.
Talk to me about Revel, the cornerback at East Carolina, who obviously had an ACL injury and is sitting in that area too, because there is some thought around these parts that the Packers may move on from Jaire Alexander. If that were to occur, cornerback is going to be a need.
I think it's possible for sure. Jaire Alexander is, you know, there have been questions about the certainty with him long term. Eric Stokes, we know, didn't pan out for them long term, and there's a lot of uncertainty past that. I think corner is one of those high priority positions that you really can't let sit for too long. You know, if you risk going for the bargain bin, that can get you burnt come December, January, when the teams that have invested a receiver are starting to show it. So I would not wait on that position. As I did in my mock draft, I picked one in round two, but I think round one, round two, round three, they got to get at least one in that range. And I look at Savon Revel from East Carolina. Before he got injured, he was a top 15 player on my board. And raw talent-wise, he's still there. The only big question for me is whether or not he can get back to 100%, but you're looking at a guy who's 6'2", with just uncanny, unnatural movement ability. And thinking about Jeff Hafley's scheme, a lot of base 4-3, but they like to play man on the boundaries if they can. You know, he's a guy who has the quickness and the length to crowd and really suffocate wide receivers. And then if they get a step on him vertically, he can match stride for stride. He's got that kind of 4-4 speed with the length that he has as well, and he's a playmaker in both phases. Really, the health is the biggest question for me. If he can get back to 100%, if I had a guaranteed, you know, pink slip, like he's going to get back to 100%, I'd be running up to the board because that raw talent is 99th percentile, and he's a playmaker on top of it.
What about Mike Green, the edge from Marshall that had a big senior week? Everybody's got him. I saw one mock draft had him in the top 12, top 13, I think. You still have him penciled down around the second round.
Yeah, you know, and I think top 50 is safe for him. You know, if you had a mock draft where he's sneaking around one, I wouldn't fault you for it, because what's the one thing you want to see from a small school guy like Marshall? You want to see those big games against Ohio State. Is he delivering there too? And he did deliver against Ohio State. Josh Pryor, that right tackle, was really struggling against Mike Green. And what you want is to see those small school prospects show that they can match up against that top flight talent. The biggest thing for me is the size. He doesn't have elite size. He has enough proportional length, but I think he's around 32 there. So a little bit below average, right? Not the biggest guy in terms of mass, but when you talk about explosiveness, right? First step burst, he's got that. When you talk about bend and ankle flexion, he's got that. He can corner, and then he can use his hands while he's cornering. Talk about multitasking, double swipes, rips, all of that is in his arsenal, and he can do it while he's shooting the gap and getting past his blocker. So he's a really talented player. I think scheme fit is going to be big for him because he doesn't have the elite mass or proportional length. But you get him in that odd front where you can rush from space and wider alignments. I would love that for him. So I'd say top 50 is the range. I'd say if you want to take him round one, especially with the Packers, have a vision for him, right? Because he doesn't have the elite mass that they've been accustomed to taking with guys like Lucas Van Ness or Sean Gary. But in that specific role, in that wide alignment role, I like him a lot. He's a pass rush terror.
Talking with Ian Cummings, Pro Football Network. Follow him on Twitter at IC_draft. Now, you've got another guy down here. The pick after the Packers in the second round. I saw Matt Schneiman of The Athletic, who covers the Packers. He had him the Packers taking this dude in the first round. And that's Gray Zabel, the offensive lineman from North Dakota State, another guy that did really well on the All-Star circuit. And he has him penciled in as a center to replace Josh Myers, who he thinks will leave in free agency. What can you tell us about Zabel?
Yeah, you know, I think any time that I'm looking at an interior lineman, right, the biggest thing that I look for, one of the bigger things that I look for is flexibility, right? You know, do you have the flexibility to acquire proper leverage, get your base beneath you, right, anchor, and then flex to absorb power when guys are trying to bull rush you or forklift pass. And I think Gray Zabel showed all that at the Senior Bowl. He's shown that in college as well at North Dakota State. Obviously, he was playing tackle at North Dakota State, but he's got that position flex that the Packers love, and ultimately, I think looking at Josh Myers, right, he was always one of those guys who you drafted him, you put him in that position, but there were always whispers like, you know, if we can get an upgrade, maybe we should, you know? And I think this is a perfect opportunity to let him walk in free agency and try and get someone who has a little more athletic upside, a little more flexibility. And to me, Gray Zabel has the ability to be that player. This is a class that doesn't have a ton of top end center talent, so odds are that scarcity could drive the price up for a guy like Zabel, who was a Senior Bowl standout. I think top 50 is probably where he goes. As to where he does go team wise, you know, some teams might be jumping up the gun to get him, right? He's got the talent, he's got the flexibility, which is a big plus for me. Whenever you have trench play, I want guys who can acquire leverage, who can withstand adversity. And to me, he's that kind of player. And then on top of that, he's got a mean streak. He's a mauler. He will serve pancakes. So get ready for.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breakfast. I like him a lot. I think for the Packers, you might have to get him top 50. That second round pick is what I would be circling, but I think he could be very well worth it because that flexibility is something that's very much in his arsenal.
I struggle taking a center in the first round. I just think I can convert a guard later in the draft to be a center, or convert a guard that I already have, Elton Jenkins or Sean Ryan, to play center before having to take a center in the first round. I struggle with that concept, Ian.
I think it depends on your situation, right? Like, if it's the only thing you need, then I'd be more inclined to do it. I agree with you generally. Like, I would rather get a playmaker, a high value, really high value position, but I also don't want to skirt around the fact center is pretty high value too. You know, I think, especially with the way that, you know, you see Jalen Carter on the Philadelphia Eagles wreaking havoc the way he does. Interior defensive line is becoming just as big a threat as edge pressure. So, you know, shoring up the interior, I think traditionally people place more value in the tackle position. I think the interior can be just as important. If you have a good interior blocking unit, that'll help the quarterback. That'll give him the opportunity to step up more, you know, not get too skittish in the pocket. So it does have value. But I also agree with you. We've seen a lot of guards flexing the center. I think there's a little bit more position flex potential there. So I would rather go day two. If you can get Gray Zabel in round two, I think that's the ticket right there.
In round two right now, I'm taking Thomas, the cornerback out of Florida State, 6'3". Yes, please. But my favorite part about Thomas out of Florida State, he is from Niceville, Florida. I want to be from Niceville. That sounds like a great place to be born, Niceville. Tell us about Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, he's from Niceville, but he's not nice to wide receivers on the boundary, man. I mean, 6'2", 32.5-inch arms, I mean, and then the mobility that comes with that, too. You know, he doesn't have a ton of ball production, but I think I noted it in the mock. It's really because quarterbacks just didn't test him a ton, especially down the stretch. You know, he's one player who has that suffocating combination of length, like kind of what we talked about with Savon Revel. And then he's got the fluidity to flip his hips really quickly, the closing burst once he's transitioned and getting his plant drive footwork in place. And then he is chippy. He is competitive. Love that side of his game. So Azariah Thomas is one of those guys who I think, again, really fits that, you know, Jeff Hafley scheme. You have Xavier McKinney as a single high safety who's so good at roaming the middle of the field, as he showed with 8 interceptions last year, first team All-Pro, Pro Bowl as well. But you need corners who can win on the boundary when you have a safety covering that much space. I think Azariah Thomas has the top flight physical tools to get that done. And then he's also very physical, very competitive in both phases. So another corner that I like a lot, and he's still young, he's up and coming. I think he's a great long-term investment with what you're getting right now.
Talk with Ian Cummings, Pro Football Network. Follow him on Twitter at IC_draft. We go over a 7-round mock draft. We're going to go through the first 3 rounds because then I think we lose people as far as who they know and who they don't know. Tyler Barron in the 3rd round, the edge from Miami. And I think edge is a position that is deeper in this draft, obviously, and a position that the Packers may not have but done the greatest with. Vet Ness obviously has not panned out to this point. They thought Rashawn Gary had paid him. He hurt his knee and he didn't play as well last year. So it would make sense if they went the edge route again this year. And Barron is just that from Miami.
Yeah, for sure. Barron's a guy who caught my eye back in 2021 and 2022, even when he was at Tennessee. He produced from a very early age with the Volunteers. And back then, it was interesting. You know, he's around 6'5", 260. So he's a big dude. He's got a lot of mass, got a little length. Tennessee used him, you know, as 3-tech and 4-eye back in 2022 and 2023. They were lining him up inside. He would just, you know, explode forward with his power, kind of similar to how Iowa used Lucas Van Ness. And I know Packers fans probably don't want to hear that parallel, so let me skip ahead to the 2024 season. Tyler Barron, 5.5 sacks, 11 tackles for loss. Now, 4.5 of those 5.5 sacks did come in the first 3 games. His pass rush production kind of faded out down the stretch, but still, at 6'5", 260, you're talking about a guy who is explosive. He's powerful. But this year, he showed really, really bright flashes using bend and hand usage around the edge to win. This is a guy who has every tool in his toolbox. He can win in multiple different ways. And if you want to use him differently, right, 5-tech, 4-eye, 7-tech, he's got all of that in his arsenal too. So, again, there is a little bit more projection with him as well, which is why, you know, if you want to look at other options, very deep edge class, I think if you're the Packers, you can do that for sure. The big qualification for me is Jeff Hafley's scheme, a lot of base 4-3, but we know they like to get TJ Slayton on the field for those odd front reps too. I want a guy who can play with his hand in the dirt, but also rush in space. I want that phase versatility. Tyler Barron, to me, provides that, but he's not the only one. JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State is one. Kyle Kennard, breakout star from South Carolina, is another. Braden Swinson from LSU is another big target there, too. So you have options if you're the Packers. Tyler Barron, to me, though, if you're talking about physical potential, he is right up at the top.
I want to switch gears here before we're done and talk about the offensive line. At the top of the 3 o'clock hour, last hour, we talked about Rasheed Walker, who's eligible for an extension, a contract extension coming up this offseason. And if you put him somewhere in the middle of the pack at left tackle, that means he's going to make somewhere between $12 and $14 million a year. Josh Myers is a free agent, so they can elect to either keep him or move on. They took Jordan Morgan last year in the 1st round, and he obviously was hurt part of the year. They had him at guard instead of at tackle, so still don't really know future plans there. But is there somebody that could be a future left tackle that might be there at the end of the 1st round that could be better than Rasheed Walker?
End of the 1st round, better than Rasheed Walker. There are a few options for sure. I think Ariante Ursary from Minnesota, so kind of a local player pretty close by, is one that kind of stands out to me. 6'6", 330, so he's got the same size and length that Walker has, and he's very explosive off the snap. That's one thing that stands out to me every time I watch him, is that, you know, getting off the snap in the run game especially, he is aggressive, he is tenacious, he will bury you with that power and that torque, and then he showed some promise in pass protection developing there with his pass sets. Pretty balanced. That there are some times where he'll get over his hips a little bit too much, lurch a little bit, but if he can cut down on that, Ariante Ursary is one really fun option. Josh Simmons from Ohio State is another guy to keep an eye on. He played right tackle at San Diego State, switched over to left at Ohio State, and then made the leap to the Big Ten Conference and really proved he belonged. He's coming back from an injury, so that'll be a big question mark for him. But another guy who, you talk about flexibility in the trenches, being able to acquire leverage and absorb power, Josh Simmons is right up there at the top of the plate when it comes to that. He's one of those guys who doesn't have the best anchor strength, but he's just so flexible. He can redistribute his weight and then get the better of you because he just knows how to get lower, knows how to get space beneath him. So Josh Simmons, Ariante Ursary, and then Jonah Savainaya is another one that I'll throw out there. Now, there are some similarities between him and Jordan Morgan as prospects. I think they both have the same energized motion, but also not elite proportional length as well. And there are some times where that outside hand is a little weaker than it should be for Savainaya, but he is explosive. He is flexible. Again, all of the physical tools are there. And I do think when he's dialed in, he can hit you with some crazy combos. He's got a snatch and trap. His anchor strength, his power in the run game, those are very, very impressive too. So three options for the Packers who I think could give merit. And one more that I'll throw out there too. Might be more of a round two target. But Marcus Mbeau from Purdue is another one. He showed out, had some good reps at the Senior Bowl. A little bit lighter than you would expect for his proportions. But again, explosive, tenacious, position flex, and his hands are violent. I mean, if he gets his hand on you, forceful, he will win those hand battles just because he carries so much force and so much tension with them. So a lot of options. Those are the four that come to mind.
Ian Cummings, he's very, very good. Pro Football Network, follow him on Twitter at IC_draft. Ian, tell everybody about your mock draft simulator that I use almost every night.
Yeah, it's the mock draft simulator. Kentley Platy, Math Bomb on Twitter, formerly X. Or formerly Twitter, X now. He is the mastermind behind that, and we got a lot of talented people working on the team that update that time and time again. I use it all the time as well. It's the mock draft simulator, hundreds of players, full 7 rounds. You can mock by yourself or with other people. Any you know, functionalities that you want, it's got them. And I think especially as the NFL draft season gets underway and we get into the thick of it with the NFL Combine coming up, it's a must-have tool. And I think anytime you want to project what might happen, use the MDS. It's a fantastic option. So that's the adult throw in there.
I love it. I have so much fun with it. Ian, thanks so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Sparky.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.